One of the key moving pieces for agencies as they prepare for the presidential transition is coming into place. Agencies named their senior career officials who will lead their organizations after the Obama administration leaves office and the next president's political appointees take over. Those names were due to the White House last month. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller discussed the next 110 days with Tom Temin.
Jason, there are less than 40 days before the election and then 73 days, if we count right, until inauguration. Not a lot of times to get things done. What is the latest that you have with agency preparations?
Well, we know, Tom, there's a lot of pre-election infrastructure getting put in place. I mean, this is everything from the IT. So when the, you know, day after the election, when the new team walks in, they can get their, we used to say Blackberries, but I guess now it's iPhones and Android devices, tablets, laptops, computers, agency logons, all those things they need to be able to get that day one. And especially the teams that are going into each agency, the transition teams. Tim Horn is the Presidential Transition Team Executive Director at the General Services Administration. He says his office has really been focused on the operational priorities. That means, again, having the venue for the eligible candidates to communicate with government, the agency Transition Directors Council, the White House Transition Coordinating Council. Those are the two main bodies that are really coordinating with the different candidates, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
What about OPM?
OPM plays a secondary role in this because they're handling a lot of the HR issues. And we're going to get to OPM in just a second because they put out actually new guidance. But I just want to go back to what Tim Horn said. And basically he talked about whenever a candidate has a question, for instance, that answer can go through this transition office and then it's shared throughout the entire government. The answer comes back to Tim Horn's office, and then he can share that answer with both candidates. So if Hillary Clinton's campaign has a question, Donald Trump's campaign learns about it, and vice versa. And I think that's a really healthy exchange because it ensures everybody's on the same page.
It almost sounds like legal counsel when they have evidence.
Exactly.
You have to share it with the prosecution or share it with the defense.
Everyone gets access to that evidence. Exactly. Now, you also asked about OPM. Now, this is interesting, Tom. They issued new guidance just last month in mid-September about HR matters. Now, this guidance includes sections on everything from working outside of the federal government, contacts with lobbyists, post-employment restrictions. It also addresses positions that could be changed. You know, something that's political today could be career tomorrow or vice versa, depending on the administration. It also talks a lot about the role of senior executive service members during the transition, including the requirements. And I didn't really think about this, but all new SES appointments are suspended when that secretary of that specific agency leaves office. So let's just pick on Commerce Department for a second. When Penny Pritzker turns in her resignation on January 21st, starting that day, there's no more SES new appointments until the next secretary is confirmed by the Senate.
Yeah, and often that is a period of weeks or maybe months in the case of some agencies.
Or in some agencies, it could be years, unfortunately. Maybe not years, but it could take 9 to 12 months. Absolutely. Now, there's a ton more in that guidance, Tom. It's 88 pages in all, and we do have that linked up on federalnewsradio.com for other people to read. One other thing that's also happening is through the Partnership for Public Service. They've been on your show several times over the last few months talking about their efforts around transition, and they've been very, very active. Tina Sung, who's the Vice President for Government Transformation at the partnership, says her organization is working with the candidates to actually develop a management agenda. This is around the back office, IT, HR, finance, things like that. And so they can have concepts and ideas ready to go as soon as the election is over. Now, Sung says the partnership also is bringing back former executives, former political appointees who have been through multiple transitions to talk to the candidates' landing team and incoming appointees. And the partnership's working on a course for the SESers called Ready to Act as they step into those political positions.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller. Now, one big challenge for any new administration is deciding on those priorities. What's going on to help the next president and the appointees get on that ground running?
I think that's a huge lift for any new secretary, any new deputy secretary, and bring it down to the entire C-suite, CFO, CIO. Now, how do they understand what is really the main issues with their agency? We know the Office of Management and Budget is leading an effort to standardize those briefing books. We've reported that Federal Chief Information Officer Tony Scott, for example, is developing a State of Federal IT report for all incoming CIOs and others. And then there's the Government Accountability Office. They're doing a lot of work as well. I caught up with Bill Reisenberg, an Associate Director of Strategic Issues at GAO, after a panel discussion last week at a lunch sponsored by a firm. Reisenberg tells me, about a new app GAO is developing for lawmakers and new agency leaders. He says the new app will help distill into really understandable chunks the more than 1,000 annual reports GAO puts out, 85% of which include recommendations.
What are the top risks? What are the best ways to save money and make the government more efficient? We have recommendations that address all those things. The important thing is to focus on those that have the greatest impact. Of course, all recommendations are important, but if we can have the greatest impact quickly, that's the goal. So the app will allow people to search either on an issue or an agency and identify the app, the recommendations that GAO has identified as top priority in terms of that.
If I'm coming in, how are you as GAO? Are you placing it down horizontal, meaning technology acquisition, kind of look at the high risk list type of issues, or how are you differentiating between the taxonomy, if you will, of the issues?
GAO has developed a taxonomy that is fairly broad in terms of identifying these areas. I think we have maybe about 100 or 200 different terms in terms of subjects that people would be able to search on. You know, IT would definitely be one. Technology is likely another one. Natural resources, federal management issues, improper payments, you name it. You can also search by agency as well.
The idea behind this is just to obviously make it easy for the incoming administration, the secretaries, the deputy secretaries, to really quickly and concisely get an idea of what challenges they're facing.
That's exactly it. And the status of the recommendations will be updated, so it'll be useful immediately, you know, as people come in and take office, and then it'll be also useful later on, you know, as progress is made in implementing the recommendations and new ones are made. So we'll update that periodically.
What's the timing? Do you expect this to launch the day after the election, the first week of December? Do you have, what's the goal?
Our goal is to launch 2 days after the election and be available then, you know, throughout.
Are there other things GAO is doing at the same time, similar to this app, to help inform, to help communicate?
Yeah, we're doing a number of things. The resources we'll offer under the Transition Act, our responsibilities, will include a management agenda that'll address some of the top management issues that the new administration will be facing. And there'll be a handful of things that relate to enhancing collaboration across agencies, better managing IT operations and acquisitions, a full range of management issues. And in addition, we'll be updating our high-risk list, which is 32 areas at risk of waste, fraud, abuse, or mismanagement, or need to transform. We'll be updating that in late January or February. And also for the transition, we'll continue our key issues. And that's a set of about 100 issues where we have very brief, about one page of information available electronically that would give somebody an overview of a management or operational issue in government, plus links to all the resources that underlie that.
That was Bill Reisenberg, an associate director of strategic issues at GAO, talking about this new app that they're going to release about the day or two after the election.
And very quickly, Jason, a lot of this work seems way more formalized than in years past. It seems like there's some maturity going on, some lessons learned. How do we preserve all that for the future?
Tom, I think you're absolutely right. And a lot of it is due to the Presidential Transitions Act that was passed by Congress, signed into law by President Obama, I think back in 2015. And that's starting to happen now, that formalization, writing it down, the what can we learn from this transition that the next transition can really work upon. GSA's Horn says there's never really been a playbook or even a standard operating procedure before. It's really been all about kind of word of mouth, talking to others who've been through it. Horn says he hopes to capture all this new information. So in April of 2020, I can't believe we're talking about April of 2020, but that next set
I'm sure of some of the candidates are.
next set of people who are doing the work will have a sense of what was done in 2016, and they can understand what worked, what didn't work. Now, Horn makes a very interesting point that I don't think many of us really think about. The presidential transition is the biggest turnover at the top of the largest corporate entity in the world. And getting it right, knowing what potholes to avoid going forward is so very important. But if you think about the number of corporate executives that are leaving, the new ones are coming in, it doesn't happen in any other merger or acquisition that we've seen ever, no matter how big the companies are. So getting this right, again, very important.